So, of the 99 things we've been talking about, number three, have we come such a long way? We've been discussing single-mindedness, single-selfness. With that in mind, whatever single-mindedness and single-selfness might mean, what do you people out there in La La Land believe that duality is? You guys out there in Black Box Land can answer now.
All right. My immediate thought is that you, Andrew? Go ahead.
I just want to make sure I say, so with single-mindedness in mind, what does duality mean to me?
Yeah. With that in mind, we're talking about single-mindedness and self-mindedness. With that in mind, what do you believe duality is?
I believe that duality is a look or an approach to life that says there's me and everything else, and there's can oppose things opposing.
How about you, Patrick? You want to tackle that?
Well, let's see. I think that the duality, and I had not really, up until you raised the question, considered it relative to single-mindedness.
Well, the question is, doesn't it seem that stupid that I would start off talking about single-mindedness and then ask you about duality? And then I'm saying,
yeah,
with single-mindedness in mind, what to you do you believe duality is? Even the statement, doesn't that sound pretty damn contradictory?
Yes.
Well, then relative to single-mindedness or self-mindedness, maybe duality isn't anything that you've ever considered it to be before. Maybe you've always thought that there was that like particles and antiparticles, or life and death, or health and sickness, or whatever. That everything is a duality and life is a duality. Maybe it's not. Maybe the whole concept of duality, or your starting beliefs in duality, are crazy.
I don't need much convincing on that.
Mm-hmm.
But you base your whole life on that.
That's the only thing I think that's, in various forms, I think that's even the only thing that I...
Andrew, listen. Think! What I'm trying to do in all... what are you wasting my time on Monday night? I'm trying to get you to think. Don't tell me that this is the only thing you know. The reason for Monday night and all about that is think beyond what you know. So, relative to single-mindedness or self-mindedness, is it possible that duality and opposition and everything that you ever heard or thought of it and you base your life on that is crazy? I mean, now, do you really think I've been working this hard for 20 years to come right back to saying, oh yeah, well, you know, duality, that's just things in opposition all the time?
So are you... I'm sorry, I'm a little lost on your word crazy. Are you saying it's actually a form of insanity?
No, I'm just saying, well, yeah, all right. let's assume that duality, how you define it, how everybody has always defined it, has nothing to do with, the universe has nothing to do with duality. Now what? Suppose we take, do we take duality and throw it away? And you base every part of your life on duality. Beginnings and endings, birth and death, good and bad, right and wrong.
I see what you're saying. Yes, yes, yes.
What if none of those are true? They never were, so why should we ever consider that they are? Relative to single-mindedness, is it possible that single-mindedness is the nature of you and the nature of the universe and not duality and not opposition? Maybe duality and opposition is man's language and has nothing to do with anything.
All right, nothing to do with anything. So, wow. So then a whole host of my, like all those things you said. So my entire life has been a delusion, if you will.
All right, let's assume that's the case. Years and years and years and years and years ago, we talked about Parmenides. And Parmenides said that anything that can only be defined as not its opposite, good is not bad, bad is not good, it only be defined by not its opposite is a not thing. It doesn't exist. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then right and wrong, good and bad, good and evil, hot and cold, don't exist. And if that's true, then it, maybe there is a nature of single-mindedness that overrides duality. Did you really think I was going to spend 20 years and come right back to the beginning old beliefs, for Christ's sake?
Probably not. Knowing you, no. I wouldn't expect that.
No, of course not. All right. Well, let's go on then. Are you willing to accept that in science, and I, when I say in science, particularly in string theory, now I don't ask you to understand string theory, but in string theory, duality as is a new and exciting concept? And the concept is that a single, well, wait a minute, oh, wait a minute, let me back off. Here is in string theory that one guy is working on string theory, trying to work it out in 10 dimensions. And another guy, he's working on gravitation, trying to work it out in 11 dimensions. Do you know what they found out? They were both working on the same thing. The 11 dimensions of gravity and the 10 dimensions of string theory are exactly the same theory. And this is what is exciting about that. You don't need to know the particulars of that. What they found out is that a single theory may be described in two or more entirely different ways, even in different dimensions, and they're still talking about exactly the same thing. Gravity and string theory would seem to be totally unrelated. And yet, and one's in 10 dimensions and one's 11 dimensions. Well, so, two different theories of, let's say, life and the universe, or physical and spiritual, or gravity and string theory are considered dual, but not opposing, when they are actually the same thing, described differently. Memory and memories are dual, describing, let's call it, retention. Birth and death are dual, describing continuation and transfiguration.
Did you say single-mindedness and duality?
No, I said the subject is single-mindedness and self-mindedness.
Let's see.
And there's a reason for using both single-mindedness and self-mindedness in all of this. Is it possible that though we talk about different things, we're really talking about the same thing, only describing it differently? And it may not seem important, this concept of duality, but it is actually, because particle and antiparticle are not a duality. Good and evil are not opposites. They're not opposing. Right and wrong, that each one of those things is holy as it is in its own way, and it is not a part of or dependent upon something that we've manufactured to be an opposite or a dualness or a duality in any way. You wouldn't get rid of duality. You won't. But would you be willing to get rid of right and wrong, good and evil, this and that? All dualities, would you be willing to get rid of all dualities and live a singleness? What singleness would you live if you were to do that? Well,
If gravity, the theory of gravity in 11 dimensions and the theory of string theory in 10 dimensions are the same thing, just described differently, are we then suggesting that that basic axiom that we have is the universe is to me as I am to the universe, the universe is as it is, and it is as I am, that in describing what I call right and what somebody else might describe as wrong, we're describing the same thing, but describing it.
Would you be willing to live that, and that's absolutely true?
Absolutely, yes.
Instead of going to fight and beheading people and burning them alive over this, or arguing religion and politics and good and bad and right and wrong and all of that, which is only a language, what then singleness would you live, Patrick?
That's absolutely fabulous. I would live myself.
So then now you understand why I talk about single-mindedness and self-mindedness. Are you willing to live your life self-mindedly so that self is the singleness that we're talking about here?
My goodness gracious.
Oh, gotcha.
Are you understanding that so far? Because it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, okay?
I believe it. Sure. It just takes all the confusion out of some things really fast.
Well, yeah, but you say that, Andrew, and I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I'll guarantee you that you can't speak three sentences that do not include opposings, oppositions, dualities, etc.
Okay, let me ask you a question on this one thing. Are you going to keep going, or can I just check one thing with you? Let's say I'm willing to give up goods and evils and you know, those kind of adjectives and adverb things. There's things that in my life, like beginnings and endings, that seem to, while I understand that's a language construct, just in getting along, it has a usefulness that I'd like to not get trapped in.
Wait a minute. Whoa, stop. You see, you're right there screwed by saying it has a usefulness that you would not. No, it doesn't have a usefulness. It distorts everything. If the universe doesn't work that way, if that's not what's going on, then it has no usefulness. Even in communicating it, it destroys every understanding of yourself and life.
Okay, so maybe then what this is leading to is that stepping out of the duality belief, I can get along more clearly in life with better description or more describing.
Whatever that is. I'm talking about living.
Okay.
Let's start with living. Okay. Let me ask you a question. When I said that what I was going to do was to find out how the universe works, and then I would tell you, or that since that has kind of been changed in how does the universe work, how the universe works for you, and then we would talk about that. Don't you realize that every religion, every teaching, every philosophy, and everything about science, anything everybody's written, is how you should live in the universe?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so it always talks about how you should live in the universe. It isn't talking about, I want to find out how the universe works so that you can live yourself in the universe. And once I then say, okay, I can show you how to begin living yourself, then isn't that self-mindedness? And isn't that single-mindedness? Because everything then is not good or bad, it's relative to self.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that okay with you, Andrew and Patrick?
Absolutely.
Well, all this may not really seem important. You know, we say, oh, yeah, well, yeah, but then we forget it. But I'm telling you, it's absolutely vital to you. And as we go along, of course, we got a late start, so it won't finish until next week at the earliest anyway. The fact is, you know how I'm going to finish this? I'm going to tell you page after page after page of what I'm not going to talk about. Well, wait a minute. If this is self-mindedness, isn't it about time that you decide these things for yourself?
Yes.
Who or what do you believe you are? I dare you to answer that question without duality. Now, let's assume for the moment then, consider it. Can you answer that question? Who or what do you believe you are? You're going to answer it somehow with duality all mixed up in the portion. It's kind of like stew. But is it possible that if we take the duality out of your considerations of who and what you are, that and put self in place of the duality or something like that, or a single theory, that maybe you could come to an understanding of who or what you believe you are?
For instance,
What?
What do you mean by put a self in?
Well, you, whoever you think you are, you're going to speak it in a duality some way or another. Now, supposing we take the duality out of it, if you could tell me then who you believe you are, doesn't that give you a single context to then be and live everything in the universe instead of a duality?
So let's try something on for size here. I'm a
I'm an abiding being, come alive in a loner body, and I am alive to show others to their abidingness.
All right, can I tell you right now that when you said, I'm an abiding being, you meant an abiding being as opposed to, in a loner body as opposed to, in a doing of showing others to their abidingness as opposed to.
Isn't that a particular though?
I don't know, you tell me.
I would have thought that I, in not speaking in generalities, in speaking in particular, I would have thought that the particular stands on its own and it doesn't need to be against or opposed to something else.
No, that's fine. If you're then going to do that, you can't use the word abiding being. You have to tell me the particular. And you can't use lunar self. You have to tell me the particular. And if you're going to teach others or show others, you have to tell me the action. You can't just use the word. If you use the word itself in that way, you're using it as opposed to.
Okay, I think I get that. That abiding being is just this label. Even loner body is a label.
And teaching is a label?
Yeah. And that's I thought I was being particular, and in fact I was being quite general.
Then you were not only being general, but you were opposing everything because even ended up with teaching others. That's an opposition, an opposing, not you.
Son of a gun.
Now, that's what our language has done to us, and Andrew could say, oh, well, you know, it's convenient, so I wouldn't get severed. Well, wait a minute. It's convenient that we're all deluding ourselves. Well, happy days.
Yeah, we all agree, Roger.
But, you know, my point to all of this is I don't want you to agree with what's been going on for 10,000 years. It's all been crap. Now, but see, let's call it Chomsky. Let's go argue language with Chomsky. And he would say, you're crazy. No, he would talk to me about how language works. I'm interested in how you work. And how the way you language then has distorted everything. Would you like to really know how the universe works relative to self or relative to duality?
Well, I'll go to the former.
Okay, well, I'm not going to answer some of these questions. So, okay. Then, as...
Can I ask a question?
Sure. Can you ask a question out of duality?
Sure.
I dare you.
Ask that, is it possible that Marshall McLuhan spoke with at least a shred of realism in when he said that the medium is the message?
I don't know enough about McLuhan to give you an answer. And I don't know the context, and I don't understand what he said.
Okay. Well, I took it to mean that something like, now, as you just said, the language distorts and our use of the language distorts everything that's going on. But then, so the medium, we'll call it languaging, is the message itself, and you have no idea what the hell else is going on
Could I point out something? When you gave me that crap about McLuhan and said so and such, do you realize you communicated nothing? But when you turned it around and then explained it the way you explained it, you talked about it in a way in which it was completely understandable.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for pointing that out, yeah.
And if you would always talk that way, then people could understand. But you use words, medium. Is the medium the problem? You see? Is language the problem? If it's language, then use the word language. And if it's more than that, is language the problem, or is languaging, is what I've said. Not language per se, but languaging.
Yeah.
The way you use the medium in that regard. So my question is, in all of this thing, what beliefs are you, can you name some beliefs that you are living and struggling with in your life today?
Cause and effect, meaning I do something and there's an effect in the universe, or there's an effect that causes me something, some reaction or situation. That's one.
Okay, fine. That's great. That's what I want to know. Name some other beliefs that you have, that you've been living all of your life and struggling against all your, because if we can say, wait a minute now, if we could get rid of those beliefs, you wouldn't have all that struggle going on in your life.
Yeah.
And maybe we
well,
could...
Well, certainly I can't. Go ahead.
Maybe then we could give you another way to live self-mindedly, or live yourself in such a way then that the beliefs and the dualities don't get in the way.
Okay.
After all, if we agree with Parmenides for a moment, are you willing to say that maybe Parmenides had something there, that anything that is only defined by itself is in itself, by its opposite, is a not thing. Well, then, are you willing to say that life and death, are you willing to say that life and death are not opposites? If alive is defined as not dead, and dead is defined as not alive, can we say that alive and dead are not things?
Oh, wow. I never thought of that. I never thought they were both not things, but sure.
But then, all right, now all I want to do is get you to start thinking this way, because you believe that life and death exist, and that's a duality, and that's an opposition, that's a problem, that's what you've been struggling against. If Parmenides was right, and we could, and all I'm asking you to do is to consider it, then are you willing to say that life and death, as opposites, are not things? And then we could we not then in that stretch that into just about every duality, maybe all dualities you could possibly come up with as being not things? And if they're not things, what might they be? And how did they get into our life? Why do we keep them in the language? Because it seems to me that they didn't offer us anything. They took everything away. They took yourself away. Do you believe, from what I've said so far, do you believe that the universe is so frigging plenary that it is as it is, and it is as you are, and as you command the universe to be, and it is, and as Jennifer commands the universe to be, and it is as I am, and as I damn well command the universe to be? How can that possibly be? Anybody want to jump in there on top of that one? No, you've always heard me say that. You've read it in just about a dozen times that in things that I've written. And you really, really, really understand that. I'm being rather facetious now, but that's okay. So the answer is, you don't believe that that's true. Why not?
Because I can't describe it.
No, wait a minute. Is it possible that in that then, We're talking about the same theory described in two or three or infinite number ways. Life is as it is, the universe is as it is, and also is as Jennifer describes it, as Andrew describes it, as Patrick describes it, as I describe it. See how simple this is? All of a sudden, we don't have that big problem of arguing over who is right. It is as it is, and it is exactly as I describe it to be. And how I describe it is not in opposition to you, because it is to you as you describe it to be. Is that okay?
It's okay. Let me ask you a question on that. You said before, I don't create my reality, I create my universe.
Okay.
And does that mean that my universe is simply a description and not something physical, different?
Well, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't your universe a theory as you describe it?
Well, that's interesting.
Well, what else would it be?
Well, by the words we use, I actually had a picture of constructing a personal universe. And you
What's wrong with that?
That?
What's wrong with that? All I've described for you over and over and over and over again is that your personal universe is the universe. You describe it your way, that's the universe. Jennifer describes it her way, that's the universe, because there's an underlying theory that we're all describing and living in a different way. What's wrong with that? And the way that Jennifer does it is relative to self. The way I do it is relative to self. The way you do it is relative to self.
Hmm.
You with me of this, Patrick?
Yeah, and it's the same universe.
Yeah, that's where I was getting caught. I actually had thought it was a different the universe, not just a description.
But Andrew, that's what I'm telling you. You've listened. You sat in the damn gatherings and showed me and watched me blow up a balloon and talk about it. How your universe is the universe, and you didn't question it. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, sure. No, you don't. I don't believe you. I don't believe any of you ever understood or even believe what I said in saying the universe is so canary that it is as you, that it is as it is, and also simultaneously is as I am, and Jennifer is, and as Pat and Andrew are. And in fact, I am willing to bet that you believe that either God created the universe and maybe God created you, or that the natural forces of cause and effect created you and the universe. One or the other. Remember, the duality of science says that is that what they're discovering is that it's a duality when a single theory is described in different ways. Well, then are we not talking about the single theory of how the universe began? Either as God created it, that's one description, or that the natural forces of cause and effect created you and the universe, that's another one. Is it possible that religion and science are actually talking about the same thing?
Possible, yes, indeed. More than likely.
Well, except that I'm talking about something different. Remember, hang in here now, Patrick, I got to bring this up to you now. If the universe is created, you can't be abiding.
Oh, absolutely. That's absolutely correct.
So, now, if you want to be abiding, you have to figure out, okay, if I want to be abiding, how must the universe be then it wasn't created.
Oh.
Dividing, right?
But don't, you can't use a word. You've got to tell me how it must be so that you can be abiding. If we define abiding in part as not beginning and not ending, if the universe began, then you in the universe began and end. If you want to be abiding, you must say or know or describe or defend or whatever the way in which the universe did not begin and will not end.
And okay, so you can't say the universe is abiding.
What?
You can't say the universe is abiding.
Well, then you can't say you are abiding.
Oh.
So it's all a waste. You see, you're trapped.
You said it last time that life created the universe.
But you don't believe that because it's still back to somebody created it, so you won't go there. Do you guys on the black box understand what I'm talking about here?
I think so, but hang on a sec. That I'm trying to think of the consistency here. If in saying that life created the universe.
Well, wait just a minute now. Jennifer said that. I said, hang on there now. So don't hang that on me yet. You can't solve your problem because, like what I said to Jennifer, if the universe didn't create life, but life created the universe, then life created the universe. It's created again. It has a beginning. How, if you want to be abiding, then your universe must not have a beginning and cannot always exist. You can't substitute that.
That it can't exist?
That it always exists.
It always existed and always will exist.
That's the gambit we use in terms of language. But it's meaningless, absolutely meaningless. Is there a possible way in which you can describe, if you want to be abiding, that the universe did not begin? We could say, well, we can't talk about it, will not end, but if you can tell me it didn't begin,
constantly recurring.
But you're going to find that even in constantly recurring, each time it recurs is a beginning and an ending. You see? Well, okay. All right, we're going to just pass that by.
No,
you can't be abiding unless your universe that you exist in is also abiding. And in both cases, you've got to be able to tell me an action or a way of the universe existing or the way that you exist that you were not created. There was no beginning. So you see, you don't solve the problem by just saying, well, universe didn't create, life created the universe. You because created is still the active verb in there. You got to deal with that active verb.
And plus, in that, things have to go both ways.
What?
Plus, in that, things have to go both ways.
What has to go both ways?
Life created the universe, and the universe created life, because you've always said that anything has to be able to go both ways.
Yeah, so I say, so you're still stuck.
So you are stuck.
In that. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Your language has you trapped, and you don't understand it. So you substitute words and ignore what you're saying, and say, oh, well, no, I'm abiding. You just contradicted yourself. The universe cannot have a beginning and you be abiding. Because you're in the universe, you are as the universe. You have no choice. Well, okay, we'll just pass that by. Unless somebody has to, anybody want to add to that?
Well, I want to know how that is possible.
What?
The abiding. Oh. Yeah,
I've told you.
No, don't leave me hanging there with a question. I don't want to see.
I'll tell you in this evening.
I'll send you guys an email.
Yeah. Great. Well, so, Roger, this is an example of when you say, like, I can't be abiding unless my universe is abiding, that sounds to me like maybe that's single-mindedness in action. It won't function one way in one part of my life without functioning that way everywhere.
That's right. See? So, therefore, if you want to be abiding as a self, you have to have the universe and all things be abiding. A belief is defined as a state or habit or condition of mind in which trust, confidence, or reliance is placed in some person or thing. A belief is considered faith. Now, if you guys don't jump in, I'm just going to talk to this to you and just ignore you.
This is the definition that you're giving us.
I'm just saying that's defined in my biggest dictionary.
And
that's the
is
definition.
That the definition that you choose to go by?
That was number one definition of
is
belief.
Is that the definition by which you choose to go?
No. That's the classic definition in the dictionary. I'm asking you then, is that acceptable? Do you accept that definition? And do you believe... Belief is defined as a state, habit, or condition of mind in which trust, confidence, or reliance is placed in some person or thing. That's a belief. When you are struggling with your beliefs, you say, I believe in good and evil. Well, okay, you put all your faith and trust and confidence in good and evil exists. And that's the foundation of everything then. What did you think you believe? As you believe, you live. As you live, that's the way you believe. We've been saying this for years. But maybe what I'm getting at is this conundrum ain't so. All right, what do you believe you are? Do you have trust and confidence in who or what you believe you are? Maybe you don't have any beliefs at all.
What puzzles me about the definition is that since I don't feel confident in, much of a belief, of the beliefs about my life, I'm not sure I do put faith in what I call beliefs.
I didn't ask you the beliefs about your life, but you believe in good and evil. You believe in right and wrong. You believe in hot and cold. You believe in up and down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And your whole life depends on those beliefs. The basis of those beliefs is the basis and foundation of your life. Now, we can talk about you don't believe in some things in your life, but I don't want to go there. I want to go only to what the basic beliefs are that you have and say, are you not struggling against those? And then I might ask, if you didn't have those beliefs, would your life be better off? Would you be better off?
Most likely.
If you believe it's better off,
would you be willing to give up your belief? Hey, look, I've been talking for 2 years about your loner self and asked you to give up your loner self. You wouldn't give up your loner self if it killed you. But it will.
It will.
So the question is, would you at least give up a few little beliefs? Or maybe we should say, according to that definition, you don't have any beliefs anyway.
I would agree with that. Because when you read that, I was just there going,
maybe I don't have any. Trust in good and evil, up and down, right and wrong, opposites, dualities. Those are beliefs. And you have confidence in those things. When you drive your car down the road, you depend on them.
Okay. Oh, I see. Yes, yeah. I understand what you're saying now. Yes, I got you. That's true.
Patrick, are you going to jump in here or not? You just going to sit back in Canada and soak it all up?
And eat banana bread?
The answer to your question is, am I willing to give up those beliefs? Yes. Because I absolutely understand that I...
No, my question is, are you willing, let's call it that, to say you don't have any beliefs?
Then what do I have?
Well, that's another question we might get into.
Of course, that's the question. Then if I don't have beliefs, what is it? What is my operating system? Because that's what's going on.
All right, let me ask you a question. Is it possible that self is your operating system?
Well, granted. But what does that mean?
If that's right. I'm not ready to get into that yet.
Why is it every question I ask he's not willing to answer?
Because you jump ahead.
That's where my mind goes.
Trying to get them to jump ahead.
Well, maybe we all are.
Well, then say something. Why don't you ask me those questions?
Good question.
Do you believe that you are a lower being? And the answer is no. You don't believe that you are a lower being. Maybe you should.
Got me there, Raj. Yeah,
that's why you won't give up a loner being, because you think that's you.
Wait a minute. You just said that we don't believe we're a loner being, and now you're saying that you believe that we do.
No, he's saying we don't think we're a loner.
We think that's us.
Yeah, he's saying I think this is me.
But I'm trying to show you that the absolute chaos that is created by what we think are beliefs. And how they hold you back. That's why I didn't want to answer your question.
I didn't want to unravel the belief. And the belief that I'm me is the ultimate operating system. I don't give that one up. Yeah. I hear you.
Like Patrick, I'm going to ask you a question, Patrick. Are you ready? Do you really believe you're abiding? And the answer is no, you don't believe you're abiding.
But you sure hope so.
But you may hope so. But your whole description of who you are, you don't even really believe that.
Well, if the exercise here is to get everything so thoroughly scrambled that we don't know which is up and which is down, which don't exist.
No, all I'm doing is using the language in a way to show you, because nobody else has done that for you, that you don't realize how totally mixed up you are simply because of language. And simply,
but if there are no beliefs and you constantly tell us that we don't believe, I'm really, the language is so screwed up then I don't know what you're talking about anymore.
Well, why don't you consider if I say, you don't believe, you don't have any beliefs, then instead of asking me what beliefs might be, why don't you tell me what you think beliefs might be? I gave you the answer when we first started.
Like different theories describing the same thing. I think beliefs are like they're descriptions.
Is that okay with you, Patrick?
Absolutely.
So they're not beliefs and they're not sacred. Beliefs are really only the way you describe things. You describe things as up and down, good or bad, right or wrong. But that's not a belief. That's just the way you describe things. So you can get rid of all that crap, can't you?
I mean, Roger, it's like breaking like ice cubes out of an ice tray. All of a sudden, everything is easy to move. It's just a description. Oh! I describe things different all the time.
That's right. And that's why. And when you describe things different and contradictory, that's why I can say, in one case, wrong. Because you say you believe something, and yet you describe something entirely different than that. Since in that, then, your beliefs don't matter, your descriptions control.
Since my beliefs don't matter...
Because they're really descriptions, then your descriptions I will trust. The way when you're saying something and I ask you about what does that mean, and you describe a word or what you're talking about, or as Patrick did when he then talked about, oh, what's a majigger who's this? But when he turned around and then described what that was, then the description controlled. There are...
Got a question.
Yes.
Is it... So, in my life, where you ask me... Well, in my life, when I try to... Well, hey, you've asked me things often, and, like, I don't know. I don't have an answer. So, are those places where either... Well, are those places where I don't have a description, or I have a description, but I'm not bringing it to, what, expression or something?
Well, let me... I'm going to go to the last sentence on the last page that we're never going to get to tonight. And the last the last thing says, a feeling is not how you describe it. A feeling is the description.
Oh.
Yep. Is that okay? So when you don't have a... When you don't know how to describe it, but you have a feeling, but you can tell me what the feeling is in that regard, or how you feel. In a sense, you are describing the feeling, and in doing that, that is the description itself.
Okay, right. Roger, here's the thing, right? So a couple weeks ago, you really, did a good job pushing me to a point of really, really describe what I meant. And I came up with, in this particular instance, what I think it was something like, what's my life, or what am I doing? I don't know what it is, my life's about or something. I came up with nothing but adjectives and adverbs. And I really reached deep for those.
But you see, what I pushed, because adjectives and adverbs are substitutes for describing what you're talking about.
So therein is my question. Is it that... I do have a description, and I'm not expressing it somehow.
Could we just possibly say that that is probably true, and that your beliefs, what you think are right and sacred and everything else, an important part of your life, conflict with your descriptions, and you think your beliefs are correct when, in fact, your descriptions are correct?
Okay. Well, here's an interesting possibility I was thinking. Like, maybe there's things in my life that I don't have descriptions of, but I could give myself descriptions of that would function my life in a new way.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't that true of everything? Make it up and make it real? Everything in your life that you think it is something that you believe, can't you just change the description?
Well, I mean, yeah, you've often said something like, we don't have to have the answer, like to something like the beginning of the universe.
You
have to give yourself an answer.
That's right. So when you're giving yourself an answer, if I can get you to describe your answer, then you're more clearly understanding yourself relative to a question or situation. Are you willing to stop justifying and rationalizing your frigging beliefs and just describe what you're doing or what you shall be?
Okay, interesting. So here's the trick I see, yeah? Man, I really can give myself new descriptions in my life. The trick for me will be, can I do them in a way that I'm not dragging the old belief patterns of, you know, language and
duality? Why do you do that? Why do you do that? Well, why do you always put a negative on it that makes it freaking impossible? Do it!
I just want to be aware of it.
Do it! And the only way you get into it, it's just like I'm saying, are you willing to consider doing only those things that you'd be willing to do eternally and be and live that eternally? Just do it! Is there any reason why you can't describe who you are and what you're doing and go out and do that? Is there anything that says that you can't do that? What?
No.
Patrick?
Nope, nothing says that.
So what I'm experiencing right now is this awareness that I have for a long time been running up hard against what I believe to be true and what I want to say.
You see? And in fact, that's what you believe is true is only the way your, like, habitually conditioned state of mind says you should describe it in this way. Well, don't describe things that way.
Could it also be that's what my parents thought?
Of course. They described it that way, and it's in your genes. You describe it that way. Why do you have to describe it that way? You might before say, well, I can't change my beliefs. They came with the body. That's the way things are. I'm stuck. That's the way your parents described it. You don't have to describe things that way.
Wow. Son of a gun. You're right. Absolutely.
When I have said to you, regenerate your body, didn't we say originally that your body comes with a DNA and it describes certain things and the pattern of that body then describes a self? Yeah. The self is described by the pattern. Change the pattern, you've described yourself differently. And in that, then, you're free to describe your life the way you truly desire. No belief is valid. No belief is a hold. No belief is divine or sacred. If you think that's not true, tell me any belief that you think that is divine, sacred, unchangeable.
I can't think of a one, but I can think of all kinds of circumstances where people are willing to die to support their beliefs.
But that's but that's not what I'm talking about. If you want to change the subject, you're welcome to do so. But I'm not wasting my time talking about changing the subject. I think we said jump right in and talk about what we're talking about. Or don't you realize you just changed the subject?
No, I don't, actually. I thought I was...
Here's why you did. I'm talking about the belief itself, and you changed the subject to a person who's willing to die for whatever that belief may be. You've changed the subject to their dying because of the belief, not beliefs itself.
I get that.
But anyway, if we then come back and say, well, would you be willing to die for a belief? You might, now that you've gone there, you might say, no, it's just merely a description. How would you like me to describe it?
Right. Yep.
Well, wait a minute now. Could you describe it without affecting self? Could you live self, self-mindedly in that, and describe the belief different without affecting yourself in any way?
That's interesting. Let me see.
If you're a Christian and you believe certain things, and they said, well, here's what your choice is, Islam or the head goes, could you just say, well, okay, I'll describe myself Islamic? And you haven't necessarily in that then changed yourself. Can't you maintain your own self description? In that case, that's self-mindedness. Can't you mind yourself the same way? And if they wanted me to change my description of it, I'll use the words of Islam rather than the words of Christianity. So what? It's just a different description of the same thing. Could you not do that? And could you not do that because it's certainly obvious that that's not only a possibility, well, of course you can. Could you, well, if you believe, wait just a minute now, if you believe that if you did that, God's going to punish you, that's just a belief, could you describe that differently? So, for instance, in that, would God maybe then be rewarding you with additional life? Do you see how our beliefs, what we think are beliefs, which are really only the same thing described differently, if really all our beliefs are only descriptions and nothing more?
Yeah. It's so clear. Yeah.
And you live and die by those beliefs, which are only descriptions.
Thousands of
people. They ain't worth dying for. Well, maybe you don't or shouldn't believe anything. Is that okay? Now, I'm sure that if I asked you that question before we started an hour ago at 6:30.
Wait, what question was it?
Maybe you don't or shouldn't believe anything.
Anything?
Is it possible that believing something destroys you? See, nobody's ever brought that up to you, has it? Anybody out there in the black box world?
Never has happened, no.
No, that's actually that I like to hear that, because I was just trying to consider that Roger ever facing a situation where he would change from being a Christian to a Muslim. And I just couldn't square that circle. That anybody convince you that you needed to change.
No, I would just change the word. It's like, what's the difference between in the beginning God created, or science says in the beginning there was a Big Bang?
Yeah.
No difference. You can take any word and, I mean, any theory in this regard in terms of how the, remember, what I'm trying to show you is how the universe works for you. Well, maybe we should change that around to how the universe works for itself. Maybe you don't or shouldn't believe anything is what I said. So let me ask another question. Are your beliefs important to you as a sentient being?
No.
Wow, that's a great question.
Well, wait a minute. Before you answer, let me ask you a question before the answer, before it. Is a dog sentient? Is a horse or a cow sentient? And do you believe that horses, cows, and dogs believe beliefs? So maybe beliefs are of little or no value. No, are absolutely of no value to you. Maybe you've been tied to your beliefs, and that's like being tied to a millstone.
I think you're right.
So the implication then is that we can get along fine in life without beliefs or descriptions.
I'm asking, are you willing really to consider that you have no beliefs?
Yeah.
Because no matter what you say your beliefs are in various situations, from my perspective, if you listen to what you say and what you're describing, the beliefs that you say you have on the one hand in one situation are all contradictory to what you say in another situation.
Right. That might explain a lot of the confusion.
Of course it is. And then when you hear that, you know your descriptions are probably governing your life. Is it possible that if you didn't have any beliefs, you wouldn't have all this judgment problems?
Yeah. Yeah, Roger, just realized I've given my life over to the control of my descriptions.
Are you willing to at least think about it for a while that beliefs are only as you describe things, as I started off with? Are you willing to accept that? Which means then that instead of beliefs, all you have to do is to change your description. But you're still talking about the same thing. When we change, when religion says God created, talking about the beginning of the universe. When science says there was a Big Bang, we could say, well, you know, God created the universe in a Big Bang. But then possibly, maybe we could say, the universe was never created. And then I could express how that could possibly be. Because if I won't go there and I can't solve that problem, see how easy it is? Just muck with your descriptions. Don't, that would be a different belief. I believe this. I can't leave that. I can't change that. I can't think about that. No, just describe it differently.
So easy, I know.
Well, I described it very simply and I explained it to you. In the beginning was quiescent. Data information. There was no beginning. There was nothing you could point to. That's the beginning. There was no Big Bang. There was no God created. Are you beginning to understand? You can't be abiding unless you can demonstrate satisfactorily to yourself that there was no beginning of the universe. The minute you then say, I've got to talk about this in terms of a beginning, which doesn't turn around and change anything if you just say, well, it wasn't God, it was life. It was Jennifer. She's responsible.
I knew there was something
about
her.
I created the universe.
It's all your fault. Are you out there?
Yes, definitely out here.
Some of us.
Is it possible that you are afraid to give up your loner self because you might lose your precious beliefs?
I think that's true for many, many people.
I guess I've used that as, well, I guess I missed you said earlier,
But you could give up your loner self if they're only the way you describe things. Don't describe things differently.
Yeah, that's right. That thing about dogs and horses really kind of makes you think maybe I've put a lot of false belief on my belief.
That's right, because beliefs only occur in language. Hello, anybody?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Supervisor, do beliefs occur in my dreams?
Well, you tell me. Aren't your dreams the way... Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. I've got to ask you this question. Because it finally... If your dreams are expressions of you... Now, wait a minute. We're following here, not a belief, but we're following a description. If your dreams are only an expression or description of your eternal self, and I would rather you now go in and use a description of your abiding self. But if the dreams are only of your abiding self, why the hell do your dreams always talk about you?
Because that's how I'm describing my abiding self.
Oh.
And yeah, that one, Roger. Maybe the dream is the dream, but I describe it and I tell you I had a dream, but I described it in a certain way.
But it is. Is it possible in that, in describing it in that way, you're really describing yourself as abiding?
I see. Right. So
maybe there's not a maybe there's not a separate, other, different, bigger, greater, immense self that is abiding. Maybe you are abiding. Maybe your beliefs have you screwed up.
I see.
Is that okay with you, Patrick?
Absolutely. Yes.
So here's a question. If there was a person that lived without language and without contact with others, let's say, so that they didn't have a language, what would be occurring for them relative to all
no
this?
Idea. Remember, what I said was, what I'm trying to do is, how does the universe work for you? And so I'm dealing with that. I'm not dealing with a theoretical, if none of this occurred.
Okay.
I'm asking you, are you willing to give up your beliefs? Doesn't say that everything else you don't maintain.
I was just wondering if they had beliefs, if they didn't have language.
I don't know. We're back to the dogs and cows. It seems that they would not. Or that they may have developed their own form of language.
Yeah, that's where my mind went.
All right, I'm going to read these things here, so hang on. Now, the purpose, I've got 3 pages to read, and we've only got about 22 minutes. But what this is, if you think that what we've talked about so far tonight is, well, it's kind of interesting, I want to take it into 3 pages of other interestings. And then at the end of it, I want you to understand, I'm not going to discuss these. I'm just going to indicate the interestingness of what happens if we understand that duality is just a different way of describing the same thing, and that your beliefs are only descriptions. They are not beliefs. How would that really affect your life? Because right now, what you're doing is you're saying, well, I'd just be the same person I always am, and I could think about these things. Well, maybe it would change more than you think. Until now, the concepts of yourself and world and the way of, and your way of life have been based on your beliefs, your precious beliefs. That you can't even discuss your precious beliefs, in fact. You don't really know what a belief is. Well, or do you really know what you believe? A belief is merely the way you describe things, such as yourself and life. So, as you describe yourself and life, so it is. That's not a belief. And you can change the description, and so it will be. Your beliefs are not so precious, and certainly not consistent or reliable. Where am I here? Can't read my own writing. You believe the body self that you got at birth is you. Describe it as a loner self, and it's not so important anymore, is it? Actually, it's rather puny. Describe it as an eternal, universal, or abiding, and the same you is universal. Actually, you are, listen very carefully, this is important. Actually, you are a dimension of the universe. Not so puny, are you? You don't live as you believe you are and live as you describe yourself to be. Why do you describe and live the least of yourself? What do you believe that being alive means? Is this a belief or a description? What do you believe being dead means? Is this a belief or a description? What is a purpose? A belief? Or is it a description? Can't you create a purpose merely by describing it and then make that purpose real? Are you waiting for God to give you a purpose? Actually, isn't God the way you describe things to be? Didn't God and the belief in God come about merely as a way to describe unknown things in the world? Good is only as you describe good, and evil is only as you describe evil. Isn't it possible that your descriptions of good and evil actually conceal a greater truth, such as abiding? You can't describe good or evil without describing beginnings and endings. Abiding is without beginnings and endings. Who is making all the noise?
Yeah, just go on mute.
Somebody. Now, in all this, are you beginning? Maybe you're trying to override the things I'm saying. Is somebody trying? Really that pissed off about what I'm saying here? Are you beginning to understand the importance of creating images and describing them instead of languaging things such as beliefs? In a regression, I only ask you to describe what you see, not what you believe. If a belief is only how you describe things, isn't an emotion only the way you react to your own descriptions? Or how you feel about your description? Or maybe an emotion is the description itself. Isn't your entire body self trapped by how you describe yourself to be? Are you willing to aggrandize yourself? Are you willing to stop poor-mouthing yourself? Do you believe in angels and guides and guardian spirits? Aren't they only as you describe them to be, or not? Isn't your job in life only as good or bad as you describe it to be? Has anything ever, and by the way, your relations are only as good or as bad as you describe them to you. And when you're thinking, you're describing yourself to yourself. Things do not happen as you believe, they happen as you describe. Is this described? In this, described means seems to be after the event. In other words, the event occurs, it seems that the event occurs, and then you describe the event. Actually, how you describe things is how they occur. Beliefs are empty, descriptions are filled with information, just like when Patrick talked about McEwen and talked about beliefs and then described. The description is filled with information. Listen to your descriptions, not to your beliefs. Because beliefs tell you nothing. Descriptions fully reveal. You can hide behind stated beliefs, but you can't hide behind descriptions. The fact is, you have many confusing, distorted, entangled beliefs of self, but you only have one description. This is single-mindedness. Your beliefs and concepts never leave your descriptions. The reason you have intimate relationships or not is only how you describe them. How you describe things. You got to listen to this. The understanding of this. How you describe things is the master dimension of your body, self, and life. Maybe how you describe things is the only dimension of life. Well, you describe all things in the universe and the universe itself as you describe yourself. This is single-mindedness. You are always and only confronting your self-descriptions in life and suffering your descriptions as well. Are you beginning to understand the importance of the word descriptionary in understanding your body, self, and well-being? All dimensions in the universe are merely descriptions. Is it possible for you to consider there are not three dimensions? You're not living in a three-dimensional world. Or, as Einstein said, you're not even living in a add space-time, and you're not even living in a four-dimensional world? Is it possible that you are living in only a one-dimensional world of self? Maybe you might even consider that a three-dimensional universe doesn't even exist. But the universe can be described in that way. Your abilities are only limited, careful now, by your descriptions. Use language only to describe, not to language about, and certainly not to conclude. To conclude is to end. When you speak in conclusion, you are affirming your death. And in fact, is when you speak in conclusions, you are describing your death. The process of logic or reasoning is really only describing. Attitudes and emotions are themselves descriptions. Actions are only physical descriptions. The universe's reactions are physical descriptions of your actions. Nothing more, nothing less. Your dreams describe your abiding self. Then why is it that your dreams are always about you? And last, as I have said and read before, a feeling is not how you describe it. A feeling is the description itself. Well, there are 3 pages of things, and I tried to make it show how important describing is and believing is not important at all. In fact, is it distorts everything. So I'm not going to discuss all those things that I just said, but that's how important it is, and we got to get on with important stuff out here. And the idea of thinking that is to broaden your awareness. Once you think of descriptions instead of believing, can you then not apply descriptions or everything in life? Everything in your life is only as you describe it to be. And if you don't believe that's true, you're welcome to send me an example of where all of this is crap. And with that, then, we'll say goodnight for now. And next week...
Thank you very much.
And next week, we'll go on to, of 99 things, number 4. I am so frigging tired of saying, regenerate your body, self, and life. And everybody says, but you've never told us how to do that. And I sent out a whole written discussion of that. So now, when we discuss this article on stem cells and stem self, all we're talking about, in a sense, is a way to describe what to do and a way of describing yourself in that regard. And everything changes. If you describe yourself differently, then you are in that, as you do that, programming every stem cell of your body. And that pre-programs or reprograms both your body and self. Okay, well, that's next week. Good night for now.